This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to Open for Business. And today we have Carl Liu, who founded this company called Service Hero. Service Hero is a newly launched platform where it connects small businesses, for example, plumbers, cleaners, wedding planners, to gym coach. This may ring a bell if you heard an interview with Gao Ziman recommend. We'll ask the man behind this Service Hero, which is Carl, on what potential did he see in this space before he decided to develop this company. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And I read an article that you've raised the largest pre-seed fund in Malaysian startup history. And how? Where did you raise these funds from?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an interesting story. So I relocated back to Malaysia beginning of this year in January. And I was exploring kind of opportunities to build an internet platform business. So my background over my whole career has been internet related, spanning many, many kind of countries. And just coming back from San Francisco, there was a business model which I was really curious about and I had used, called Thumbtack. And I thought, you know what, this business could work in Southeast Asia if there was a little bit more localization and optimization for it. So I rang up my friends in San Francisco. I rang up my friends from around the world, my Malaysian friends who were abroad, and I said, I've got this crazy idea to develop a platform business, a mobile app that's going to connect consumers and local businesses which aren't internet savvy and help them grow their business. So brought the team together, sketched out the idea, and then, you know, had some friends, you know, let the world know that I was back in Malaysia, coming from Silicon Valley to the Klang Valley to do something interesting. And then it ended up that some significant players in the local scene, YTL Group, decided to be one of our initial investors. And so they participated in the round. And it was really great to have someone or an organization with such clout in Malaysia, with such experience in mobile, with a YES Network, to get involved. And yeah, so they came in. So that's one of the shareholders. Another shareholder is Lelong, actually. So it's an online eBay-type site in Malaysia, mm-hmm. one of the most trafficked sites. And the founders of Lelong, Richard and Wayne Koch, and me go back, actually, to my time in South Africa when I worked in South Africa. So my businesses in South Africa were invested in by a media company called Naspers, and Naspers invested in Lelong in Malaysia. And so we were the only Malaysians to have been invested in by this large media company / fund. Interestingly, this is the fund that owns Tencent WeChat.
Yes.
Yeah. So as you know, the only Malaysians that were invested in by this group, it was natural when I came back and I was looking for alliances in the market that I reached out to Wei and Richard and Koch and say, hey, let's do something together. Would you like to invest through the group? And they did. And another kind of significant investor is the former international COO of Groupon. So my experience has been in internet platforms in the past. I was on the founding team of Groupon in China, employee number 12.
Proudly. And,
yeah. I was really proud because it was that point in my life when I realized how transformative an internet platform could be and how you could just, you know, you could grow an organization around an internet platform. So employee number 12 became 3,000 people in China in a very short space of time. And so through that, my kind of experience has been lucky enough to have met people that believed in my vision to do something significant in the tech space.
I guess the trust here plays a big role because this funds raised without a product, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we did not have a product. So that's why it was a pre-seed round. So I think it's on the back of the team that we've put together. So I co-founded this company with some prominent players in tech. Adam Burmester's one of the most well-known software developers in Silicon Valley, and he was one of the early employees behind Xero, which is a billion-dollar kind of cloud accounting software, and was the lead engineer behind BBC.com. So, you know, that's one of many talented people that are on our team.
Carl, I mean, I can tell that you have a lot of vision, a big vision for Service Hero, but in town, you know, we already have two other startups called Gaozim and Recommend, which we brought them on together to tell us their story. You know, how are you different from them?
Yeah, sure. I guess there's a lot of similarities in that we're both, quote, aggregation platforms. So you make a request on the platform and then service providers come back with a quote. I guess the key technical differentiation point between our companies is that we're mobile only and mobile first. And that was a very deliberate decision by me when I decided to create this company. Southeast Asia, and Malaysia in particular, has one of the highest mobile penetration rates in the world. And most activity is happening on a mobile phone. So why would I develop a platform that is web first, right? The future is going to be mobile. I know that my customer is out and about during the day. The plumbers, the electricians, they're not in front of a computer and they need an easy way to access customers. So first point is that we're mobile first, mobile only, and we're an app. You've seen the success of MyTaxi in the region and how a mobile first platform can really work well to engage its customers. So yeah, that's great. I mean, the geolocation aspects of the app are really important. Now, before we launched this, I didn't create the product first and then, you know, to see whether it fit the market. I looked at the market and I talked to people. So I surveyed close to 100 service providers and asked them what their biggest pain points were when they had to find new customers. And time again, they said that location and getting customers that were in a location that was convenient to them was important. So, I mean, look, everyone carries a smartphone with them, right? So with a request made on a smartphone, you can tag a location, and then the service provider has a choice whether or not to respond to that quote based on that location information. So yeah, that's the technical points. Organizationally, I think there are a lot of differences as well. So this is a platform that helps not just the consumers to get a better deal, but also helps small and medium-sized enterprises to get more visibility online. And we really believe that as an organization, we should be very close to the small and medium-sized enterprises. So over the coming months, you're going to see more features rolled out that are going to help the lives of the businesses on our platform, which I think is going to be a really differentiation point. Being close to our suppliers means a lot to us as well. So unlike a lot of the other competitors, we have wide geographic reach and we have physical offices in the cities that we operate in. Because I think, you know, we need to have happy suppliers. We need to be in their face and we need to offer them a great experience, a good customer relationship if they're going to be active and providing good service on our platform.
And right now you're available whereabouts? Is it nationwide you're soon to be nationwide? But right now, where are you available?
Yeah, so we're right now available in Penang, KL, surrounding areas, Klang Valley, obviously, and in Johor Bahru. And we've set up an office in Singapore.
You're pretty aggressive in terms of growing Service Hero. I mean, you've only started coding this in February 2015 in Pavilion, you were telling.
Yeah, no, it's a really funny story. So literally, Koppel, myself, and working remotely with my San Francisco team, just for all the other tech entrepreneurs out there, Pavilion, the coffee on the sixth floor of the Pavilion has the best internet out of them all. So if you want to start something, that's the mall with the best internet. Maybe not the cheapest coffee, but good internet. So yeah, we started coding the product from that shopping mall.
Yeah, I mean, since February until today, you have 25 people working under your wing. Can you share with us your thought process pre-launch? Because it seems to be just boom, the app was launched in June.
Yeah, I think I had a clear vision about where I wanted to have the organization and what the structure was going to look like, just because I had the benefit of experience scaling internet platforms. And so when I decided to create this product, I knew that it wanted to be a regional play and I wanted it to have a transformative effect across ASEAN. So yeah, I mean, look, I had a clear vision in my mind. I had experience with growing internet platforms before. So it was very natural that when I came back to Malaysia and decided to launch a company, I would execute based on my experiences. So
is scaling up so quickly the key to be more successful?
It's not the key to be successful, I think. But if you have the benefit of experience, why not, you know, skip a couple of steps and just go straight to the company as it is today?
And right now, how do you intend to stay as the chosen app, though?
So I think, unlike many other tech companies in Southeast Asia, we are very engineering heavy. It's not just an operational team that we have. So we have a real engineering DNA within our organization. So we have a development center in Silicon Valley as well as in Kuala Lumpur. And that means that any innovation that is coming out of the Valley is being fed to our teams over here. Because we have such a strong engineering team, one third of our staff are engineers. It means that we can react very quickly to the market. I'm always learning about how our customers are using our app, and we deploy very frequently. So we improve the product, and a new version is deployed at this stage about 3 to 5 times per week. So it's really important that we maintain this engineering DNA. Mm-hmm. We have great engineering talent, so we're able to be on top of the game. And again, it goes back to my point about providing great service not only to the consumers, but also value add to our suppliers, which are the lifeblood of our app.
What are the categories of service that you have at the moment?
We have about 20 categories. And just, Angeline, just to go back, I think the easy way to explain it for viewers who are not familiar with our platform is that we're like MyTaxi, but for the service industry. So there are about 15 categories right now, ranging from cleaning, plumbing, electrical work, photography services, aircon repair, which is a very popular one. And this is going to be the start of many, many services on the platform. So, you know, I've built this platform to be transformative on a service level, not at a vertical kind of category level. So I'd love to be the place where people go to when they think that they need to engage a service provider. So in the future, it will be lawyers and accountants on the platform.
Any service, basically.
Any service. So, you know, Yelp or TripAdvisor have been the go-to places for reviews and for people to find out, for in TripAdvisor's cases, hotels or restaurants for us. You know, if you think about services, I want you to come to our platform, be able to see reviews, be able to compare quotes from various service providers, and to just transact on the platform.
So basically, it's more of a directory then. Because I was thinking services, how do you know if we're hiring the right people to do the job, right? So you wouldn't be able to guarantee this are the people that we've vouched for.
No, it is. It's not really a directory. I see it as an evolution of a directory. Mm-hmm. So the main difference, I think, is that it happens in a reverse way. You make a request. Let's say your aircon is broken and you need it repaired. You would answer a few questions on the app, put your location, take a picture of your air conditioning unit, and this request would be beamed out to all the aircon repair service people in a certain radius of you. And they would say, hey, can you respond? Now, these guys would respond back, and then you can compare who's the right choice, whether it be on their credentials, on the price that they've quoted, their star rating. And it's important to note that we vet everyone that comes into our platform. So they have to be qualified to do the job. They need to have the right paperwork. I think safety is a major concern in this part of the world. So that's something that we take very, very seriously.
Okay. Mm. Carl, you're born in Klang. Mm. You were a corporate lawyer and then turned into a tech entrepreneur, which led you to establish startups in South Africa, even in China, San Francisco Bay Area, or in other words, the Silicon Valley, and also Hong Kong. So, you know, what really brought you back to Malaysia?
Yeah.
That's up next on Open for Business, BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're still listening to Open for Business with me, Angeline Tay. And on the other side, I have Carl Liu, who is the founder of Service Hero, a new mobile platform company that connects you to service businesses. Carl comes from an extensive startup experience, the corporate lawyer turned tech entrepreneur, previously founded startups in China, South Africa, Hong Kong, and the Silicon Valley. So just tell us, how did you transition from corporate lawyer into tech entrepreneur?
So, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, I was a corporate lawyer, but I was one that was specialized. So my first career out of university was as an information technology lawyer. So I wasn't too far removed. So from my undergrad degree, I studied information systems with a computer science minor, as well as law. So I've always been exposed to the tech world and the startup world, and admittedly a bit of a geek. So I always thought that I should have a career that marries two skills that I have. One is from the tech side, and the other one is I think I have pretty good English language skills. So I thought, you know, why don't I become a computer lawyer, a tech lawyer? And that's what I became as the first job out of uni. What I realized it wasn't fulfilling for me to just advise on how to start a tech company or write the terms and conditions for my clients' products. But I wanted to do something more entrepreneurial and more operational. So I didn't know what that meant, and I decided to just go to China, actually, and just to clear my head, learn Chinese for a year, and see where that would land me. So as I was saying to you before, I think my parents were mortified that their son, who had joined a prestigious law firm advising some really big-name tech clients, wanted to leave the law. But through that experience in China, I got to meet people from all around the world with a vast range of experiences, and something that I didn't get exposed to in Auckland, New Zealand as a corporate lawyer. So that was 2009, 2010. And through that kind of year that I had, just being open to new experiences, I met some interesting people. And one of those people was a senior executive at Groupon. And when they decided to expand internationally, I happened to be on the ground. They said, you know, someone introduced us, and I ended up going for a meeting. When I went for a meeting, it was a pretty barren room that I was in, and there were some tables being delivered. And this executive said, hey, can you help us put together the furniture for Groupon's office? And I said, why not? And then within a week, I was part of the company growing this business. We're doing everything, hitting the streets, trying to think about a brand name, you know, trying to acquire suppliers, installing a software on the computers, everything. And yeah, so obviously that exposed me to what you could do with a technology platform. And from there, I was just so curious to see what I could build on scale in challenging markets. And so once you do China, I think you feel you can do anything. So I thought, okay, why don't I go to Africa with a friend and see if I can do something there. And we established what became the largest furniture as well as fashion and baby and mother care sites in South Africa.
Was that your first startup?
Second startup founding experience. Just prior to that was a cosmetic startup in Hong Kong. So I would love to say that was a roaring success, but we actually shut up shop within a year. But it really gave me a lot of valuable lessons. The business was acquired by another online cosmetic site. But yeah, that was a great experience and got me into the kind of
what did you learn from the first startup?
Yeah, I think it was about team building and building the right team culture, making sure that you attract people with similar values and not to rush into things. So I think those experiences have really translated to my previous startup, as well as the one here. So although the team has grown really quickly in Malaysia, everyone that I brought on board has really similar values, has the same kind of vision, and we're very, very much aligned. Another very important lesson from those Hong Kong days was be agile, be ready to pivot. I think we were a little bit stubborn with our initial model, and we should have moved a lot quicker when we saw changes in the market. Agility was certainly a lesson.
Right, so moving back to South Africa, so what was this startup about?
Yeah, so initially we went there to start a furniture site. So I had a friend who was in South Africa, and say, why don't you come down and help me in marketing? And I said, oh, cool, I'll help you for a couple of weeks. Ended up staying for close to 2 years. Yeah, it was an online furniture store. We then received some funding from Naspers. Then we acquired an online fashion store, which we then kind of re-engineered. And then thirdly was an online baby and mother care store. So this was 2012 at a very early stage for e-commerce in South Africa. So we had to really build things from scratch. I mean, even the logistics systems in South Africa weren't really up to scratch. So we ended up building our own logistics infrastructure, building our own distribution centers in Johannesburg and Cape Town. So super interesting to actually to develop a business in a challenging market like South Africa.
And then you moved to San Francisco.
Yeah. So in between that, I went to grad school. I was lucky enough to have Naspers actually sponsor my grad school. And then after that, I ended up in San Francisco. So if you can remember while I was talking about that cosmetic startup in Hong Kong, I managed to convince a friend of mine to start the same business in Korea. And it ended up becoming the largest online cosmetic store in Korea.
Wow.
He was invited into a program called Y Combinator in Silicon Valley, which is, I guess, the most prestigious kind of accelerator program. The likes of Airbnb and Dropbox were created out there. And so as he went through the program, he asked me, Carl, you know, would you like to come to San Francisco and help me start the San Francisco offices? Went over and started up the offices. And and so Mimi Box is now established in San Francisco. So I went there to help him set it up, and then with a view of coming back to Malaysia.
Oh, so you had a view of coming back to Malaysia since then?
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been doing a lot of traveling, and I knew that it was time for me to kind of pick a base. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always been fond of Malaysia. Although I grew up overseas, I would spend, you know, a month every year or so back in Klang with my family. So, yeah, I came back with a view to come back to Malaysia. And when I was here in January, I was so excited to see the developments in the ecosystem and what I felt were macroeconomic factors that would really help me propel the growth of an internet startup here. Yeah.
And so since you were here in January, what do you think about the startup scene here?
Yeah. Look, I think it's really nascent. It's growing. But I think that startups are really lucky here to have a supportive government that is encouraging entrepreneurship. There seems to be a lot more capital flows into the region as well. So it's a good time. So what I've noticed is that there are a couple of really big players, you know, Grab Taxi, that is quite significant, and the Rocket Internet companies. But alongside that, we're at very kind of an early stage for smaller startups to emerge. But a lot of great co-working spaces that I've seen, a lot of government initiatives like Magic, which I think are really great. So it's been really fun to come back. I've been involved in mentoring with a few startups here. So it's really great to see the ecosystem thriving. So we're early stages, but I think that there's going to be major kind of regional impact impact originating from the startup scene in Malaysia.
Right. So what are the most important things that all the founders or, you know, aspiring founders that need to look out for if they want to start something up here?
I think talent, getting the right team on board is the most critical thing. With the right people, you can solve any problem, right? So people say, you know, is your product better than another competitor? Is it, you know, are the market conditions right? Honestly, if you recruit the correct team, the talented team that is problem-solving focused, you can overcome any challenge. So you talked about my competitors and how we're different. Mm-hmm. Honestly, we're evolving every day, and we're able to evolve because we have a great, experienced team that I'm really proud of, our great problem solvers. Mm-hmm. Access to capital is less of a problem, but people, I think, have to know where to look and how to get introduced. People shouldn't be shy about their ambitions as well. I think a lot of first-time entrepreneurs in Malaysia haven't seen startups in a global context. And, you know, you can think big. Just because you're a Malaysian company doesn't mean that you can't conquer the world. You know, Service Hero, from day one, I knew it was going to be a Malaysian company that was going to have regional impact. And I set my goal really high, and it enabled me to do things like raise a large sum of money. People believed in this vision, and mm-hmm. I think vision drives everything, right? So having a clear vision and making sure it permeates to all your team members.
Yeah. Okay. And the vision is really to have a regional presence?
Yeah, it is. I think stage two for me is that regional presence. And this platform has been built to be scalable across the world. So, look, if I'm fortunate enough to have the support of my users and a team, this product could go worldwide.
Right. And how fast do you expect this to have a regional impact?
Yeah. Look, it is in... It's in my plans to be within a year to be present in a significant portion of the ASEAN market.
Well, I wish you all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time, Carl.
Yeah, thank you.
I've been speaking to Carl Liu, who is the founder of Service Hero. Thank you so much for listening. This is Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.